Well, thank you for joining us for our midweek service. It's good to have you with us tonight, and trust that the teaching of God's word will be a blessing. The singing of some of the songs we'll do tonight will be a blessing, and that you'll be a blessing to others by taking some time to write down a few names as we go over some prayer requests tonight. So if you got a pen and pencil handy, or a piece of paper and a pen handy, we'll go ahead and write some names down here in a few moments. But let's start our service off tonight by singing the chorus. His name is wonderful. You see it on the screen behind me, so join right in as we sing together. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Why don't we do that one more time together? His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Well, if you have a pen and some paper handy, we'll give you some names to write down that you can pray for after we're done here tonight. Just take some time with your family or with yourself and just spend some time in prayer. One of the names that is new to our prayer list was mentioned Sunday morning. A young lady by the name of Felicity Van Gilder. This is the cousin of, my mind's going to go blank here. Well, let me think about that just for a minute. But Felicity Van Gilder is battling cancer. It's a young lady in her 20s, so remember her in prayer. And then Wally Hunniford, just continue to remember him as well. As he recovers from the stroke and just some other issues that are going on for him, he's certainly doing much better than he was last week, but still in need of prayer tonight. And then, of course, we continue to remember Don Myers with his particular struggles as he is looking for healing as well. And then, if you'd remember, she will be having a surgery that had been postponed due to the pandemic, but now that elective surgeries are being rescheduled, she'll be going to the Cleveland Clinic and having surgery toward the end of this month. So if you would remember her as well. And then my brother-in-law, Sam Gipp, who has preached here a number of occasions for us, found out that he has a tumor in his spinal cord, and of course a very serious thing. And so if you would remember Sam Gipp, as he seeks to find some answers and just find God's healing for him. So remember him as well. Especially want you to remember in New York City, Kyle Heinzman and Nathaniel Smith, both men are working there with our medical system there in New York City during the crisis that the city has faced. So pray for their protection. Pray that God will give them the skill and the ability needed to just minister well to the patients they're working with, and that God would keep them safe. Of course, it's one of those hot spots and probably maybe the most difficult place on the face of the earth right now concerning the COVID-19 virus. So pray for Kyle and pray for Nathaniel as well. So if you would just write those names down and remember them. Of course, we've been getting prayer letters from a number of our missionaries. And as I mentioned last week, our missionaries are continuing to face the same dilemma that we are in. Things have been greatly limited. In fact, more so for most of the missionaries, much more limitations in the countries that they're serving in. And so it has greatly affected their ministry. And, of course, a number of countries are not technologically advanced as the United States. Some are not. And so this has hindered some of their ministries. So pray that God would just give them wisdom to know how to minister to the people in their churches, how to minister to the lost, and that God would keep the supply coming in during this time. With our economy struggling right now, more than likely there are churches who are struggling to get in the needed funds to support missionaries. To this point, our church has been blessed. We have not had those struggles, and we praise the Lord for that. But let's pray for these missionaries that God would meet their needs and supply. And just let me mention again for Enoch and Ariel Wynn. They are basically done with deputation, and they're just waiting for the opportunity to have the permission to get into Mexico, into Central and South America. And right now they are forbidden to travel into those areas. So pray that God would open that door soon because they want to get busy with the work. On Sunday evening, we were again to have missions emphasis through this month, had several missionaries lined up. We've had to cancel most of them anyway. And so if you would pray, Enoch will be preaching for us Sunday night in our Sunday evening service. And again, just pray that God will keep them encouraged and keep raring and ready to go as they look forward to getting down to Mexico very soon, hopefully. So if you would remember those special prayer requests, and right now, let's just take some opportunity tonight to pray for these folks. So if you would join me, and again, if you get opportunity after the service tonight, just to gather as a family to pray for our church family, to pray for our president, to pray for the nation, to pray for our missionaries, others, that you would do so this evening. So let's go ahead and we'll pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to at any time, any place, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a privilege you give us, that we have the privilege of calling you Abba, Daddy, and that at any time we can come before you, and you'll never say no to us. You'll never forbid us from coming to you. Lord, we're well aware that sin can hinder the effectiveness of prayer, but I thank you that you're willing to listen, and you want to listen, and you want to do a work. You've proven that. You have answered prayer again and again and again. And Father, I just ask that you would do a special work. You did a special work for Wally last week. Amazing that he was able to get out of the hospital only after a few days after suffering the stroke. Lord, we ask you continue to touch him and do a special work in his body. Lord, for Don, he's had some good reports of late, and that's a praise to you for what you have done for him. But Lord, we continue to ask that you would give direction there and bring the complete healing that he desires. And Father, we think tonight about this young lady by the name of Felicity, that you, Father, would just touch her and raise her up and bring healing to her, and ask, Lord, that you give Julie and her family wisdom to be able to encourage this young lady, this cousin, this relative of theirs, and just minister to her in a very, very good way, very powerful way. And then, Father, I think about my brother-in-law tonight. He has served you faithfully for many years. And Lord, I know that he wants to continue to serve you for many years to come. And what they found the other day is certainly a serious thing. But you are more than able to heal him. You're more than able to deliver him from this tumor. I ask, Lord, that you would just encourage he and Kathy during this time. And Lord, while they're waiting for answers and while they're waiting for you to do a work continue to use them in a special way in evangelism, there at the Institute, and all the things that he does. Use him in a very good way for your glory. I thank, Lord, of our people tonight. I thank you for them. Lord, it's a wonderful church family. They've been wonderful to me for all these years. And I ask that you would keep them encouraged through the teaching and preaching of your word. And even though these are very unusual circumstances, I ask that you continue to use, whether it's a online streaming service or whether it's through listening to messages on our internet site, Lord, whether it is coming to the parking lot service and hopefully within a few weeks beginning to get back together in this building, we ask that you would just help us to keep our eyes upon you, to live for you, to stay faithful to you, to look for opportunities to give out the gospel. Lord, we need you. We need to grow in your grace and knowledge. We ask for a work of revival that you would do in this church family, in my life, in every life. God, will thank you for what you will do. And we ask, Lord, for our nation, for the president, for Vice President Pence, for all of these leaders, that you give them wisdom, Lord, to make right decisions. There are some huge decisions, difficult decisions, and it certainly doesn't help when everybody and their brother is trying to be critical. And I realize, Father, that that is part of politics, being criticized for what you do, and anyone in leadership is going to face that. So God, help these men and those who are aiding them to make decisions that are going to be helpful to our citizens. And Lord, even in the midst of this, I ask that somehow your name would be glorified, your name would be magnified, and that you would do a special work in our country. We've been asking for a national revival. Lord, if you can use this, use it. Do a special work, God. We'll thank you for it. Again, we think tonight of Kyle Heinzman and Nathaniel Smith as they are working there in the very difficult area of New York City right now, ministering to people. We ask that you would just protect them physically and that you give them great skill and wisdom in their work. Lord, we'll thank you for it. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more song together, so if you would join in with me as we sing.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole.
That is really a good song. It's really a good song, and it's true. He touched me when I was senior in high school and saved me October 31st, 1976. And since then, he's touched me in different ways. Many, many answers to prayer. The Lord's allowed me to be able to serve him And he's just been very, very good to me. And I hope that as you sang that, that came from the bottom of your heart and trust it was an encouragement to you. We've been in a study of different men and women of the Word of God. Tonight we're going to begin to look at another life, and that is the life of Joshua. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles this evening, and this will be more than likely a two-week view of Joshua's life. And we're going to begin with Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin to read in verse 1. I'll give you a moment to turn in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin to read in verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We're going to begin to examine the life of Joshua. This was God's hand-picked successor to God's choice servant Moses. And the man was given the great responsibility to lead Israel into Canaan, and God had guaranteed them victory. And Joshua led Israel to victory. He led them into Canaan and saw the land conquered and that land divided among the tribes of Israel. Now, I want you to take your Bible and note the summation, if you would, of that great challenge that Joshua had. We'll go to Joshua chapter 21. Turn over to the 21st chapter of Joshua, and we'll read beginning in verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. As God said to Joshua, you're not to fear, you're to go into the land, you are to possess the land. Everything that God promised to his people Israel, God fulfilled, and God used Joshua to see that victory come. Look over at chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24. Look at the first verse. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now, jump down to verse 14. And I want you to notice what Joshua said to them. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. God fulfilled everything he said he would do in and through the life of Joshua. He used him in a great way. The name Joshua, as of course it's translated now into English, but that name in Hebrew means Jehovah is Savior, is actually the same name that we find in the New Testament, the name that we call Jesus. So when you think of the name Jesus, in the Hebrew it would be Joshua. Of course, I'm using English terms there. Now, why did God use and bless Joshua in such a mighty way? And listen, that's what our purpose is as we go through this study on men and women of the Scripture. Now, I want you to consider this evening, a few things this evening. Did God assign Joshua the task and use him and bless him because of his bravery, because he was a brave soldier? And I say that, it may sound strange, but I say that because when we are introduced to Joshua, we are introduced to a man who finds himself as a warrior and a commander in the midst of a battle. Go back with me, and we'll see the introduction of Joshua in the Scripture in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and I want you to look at verse 9. This is the first mention of Joshua in the Bible. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and on the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So when we're introduced to Joshua, we find him as a warrior and a commander of this, really it's a ragtag army. Israel has been in a slave state for over 400 years. They have just recently left that dominion of slavery and are now on their way to go toward the promised land, and they find themselves in the midst of battle with a trained army, the Amalekites. And with no previous training, Joshua leads these men into battle, and God does a miraculous work, gives them victory. Now, he gives victory, and no doubt it was a miracle in the sense that we saw read when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. When his hands began to droop because of heaviness, Amalek began to prevail. No doubt it was a miraculous work that God did. Nevertheless, in order for this miracle to be fulfilled, somebody had to lead that ragtag group of men. And the man that God chose was Joshua. He was a warrior, and he was a man who would command. Now, as you look through the book of Joshua, once Moses has passed away and Joshua is installed as Israel's head, he leads them through a series of military campaigns, and his exploits are well known. I'm sure you've read through the book of Joshua, and you know of all the battles that Joshua led Israel in. They only lost one, and that was there at Gibeah. So his military prowess was tremendous. His skill in battle, obviously God enabling him, was tremendous. And by the way, you know, we think of men like Patton. We heard the name Pershing, you know, from World War I on Sunday night. We could go on and on naming Schwarzkopf, more recently in the war there in Iraq. We think of these great generals and we think, everything comes from them. That is not true. Whatever skills those men have been given to them by a creator. Whether they acknowledge that creator or not, I don't know any of those men to be born again men, but we do know this. Whatever skills they had were given to them of God. God enabled those men to be skillful in battle, and certainly God did that for Joshua. But no doubt he was a warrior and he was a commander. Now, I make a big deal out of this because, first, that's the way we are introduced to this man. We're introduced to Joshua as a warrior and as a commander, a soldier. But as you begin to examine Joshua's life, you find out that Joshua was like you and he was like me. He battled fear. Again and again and again, there are references to Joshua and fear. Let's look at some of those things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to look here at the first chapter of Deuteronomy and look, if you would, at verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, shall go in thither, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So as Moses has been told of God, because you did not honor me or glorify me when you struck the rock with a rod, you will not go into the land. You will not take Israel into victory. And I'm going to give that opportunity, that responsibility, and that privilege to Joshua. Now, Moses, I want you to encourage this man. And one thing we find out is that Joshua was a young man. That is referenced a number of times here concerning Joshua's life. Look at chapter 3 of Deuteronomy and verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and look at verse 28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now notice here the adjectives used. Charge him. In other words, command him. You know, how many men would charge into a certain situation, facing automatic weapon fire, or going into a hot spot in battle? If they were given the option, I don't know that I would. So God said to Moses, you command him, charge him, that he is responsible to go forward and to lead his people, and encourage him in it. Everybody needs encouragement. Listen, your friends, your fellow believers in Christ need encouragement. And while we don't battle with bow and sword, and we don't battle with automatic weapons, we don't do those things, yet every child of God has battles that they face. And people need encouraged. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need encouraged. And that's a responsibility that we can all take upon us, to encourage one another. And that it says, and strengthen him. Because sometimes fear can weaken you. It can weaken you. Now, if you would go to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, toward the end of chapter 31, and I want you to notice verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Part of that fear may have been the understanding that he was going to be absent, the man he dearly loved and had served, Moses. Part of that fear may have been, I'm not going to go and face one nation. I'm going to go and face several nations in battle. Whatever the reasons it may have been, God inspired Moses to say to Joshua, fear not, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. And he said back in verse 7, he said, you must go in. There's no options, Joshua. This is upon you. You must do this. And then look at verse 23 of chapter 31. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So again, he is commanded to be strong and of a good courage. Several times God has Moses speak these words. Now, once Moses is dead, in Joshua chapter 1, it's not Moses, obviously, that is saying these things. It's God himself who will also charge Joshua, encourage him, tell him not to be afraid. Now, why would you do that to somebody? Because everybody fears. Everybody fears. Everyone. Now, I know there are men who do exploits in which we are amazed by it. The Congressional Medal of Honor winners who do things that just can kind of blow your mind by their bravery. And yet, I think if you sat down with each of those men and were able to have a conversation, I believe they would tell you there is an element of fear at the very least. I believe everybody fears. Now, here's a man who is a warrior, who has tasted battle, who knows the experience of it, and yet he has to be encouraged several times to go forward, to gain strength, to gain courage, and not to be afraid. Can I say to you, when we talk about being brave or having courage, that courage is not the absence of the emotion of fear. Courage is the absence of the paralysis of fear. Let me say it again. Courage is not the absence of the emotion of fear. Courage is the absence of the paralysis of fear. Everyone understands and experiences fear. I want you to think about Proverbs 3:25. There, we're told, be not afraid of sudden fear. You can be walking down the hall and someone just may be playing a trick on you just to tease you, and they jump out behind a corner, and all of a sudden this overwhelming spirit of fear leaps up in you, and you jump about 3 feet in the air and you scream out. Listen, everyone experiences fear. But the writer of Proverbs, and it may very well have been Solomon, said, hey, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Fear is going to come. But what are you going to do with the fear? Are you going to let it paralyze you so you don't get done what needs to be done? You're going to experience the emotion of it, but don't let fear keep you from accomplishing what you ought to do. In fact, you have heard me say on a number of occasions that fear is actually a good thing. A child ought to have a fear of touching a hot burner on a stove because it can do great damage to their body. Listen, there are things we ought to naturally fear, and out of respect, we avoid those things that can cause harm. And of course, as Christians, we're taught to fear the Lord. That emotion should be there. That emotion of fear should be there. But that emotion of fear should be just that, an emotion. Fear should not paralyze us in our walk with the Lord, but it should motivate us. Your fear of God should not paralyze you. The fear of God should motivate you to action. Now, let me give you some examples. Take three examples out of the book of Psalms. In the second Psalm, the 11th verse, the Bible says this, serve the Lord with fear. Psalm 22, verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Psalm 96, verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him. Now, here, fear in the life of one of God's children motivates them to an action. Fear causes the child of God to serve Him. Fear causes the child of God to praise Him. Fear causes the child of God to worship Him. Fear can be a good thing. Fear can be a good thing. Even the Apostle Paul battled fear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, we hear these words spoken by Paul to the church at Corinth. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, as you look at that passage, you might say, well, I really don't think he's talking about weakness as far as our natural weakness or our natural fear or our natural trembling. I believe he means this in the sense of the spiritual walk, that as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "When I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, the Lord's strength overtakes and works through me." Now listen, that could have been a motivation as Paul wrote those words. It could have been when he said that I was with you in fear, that it wasn't necessarily the fear of men or the fear of his circumstances. It may have been, I'm with you in the sense of having the fear of God, trembling, not trembling before men, but trembling before the holiness and the greatness of God. That could be a possibility. But I think when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, there is a clarity here that lets us know that while the Apostle Paul certainly, because of his weakness, found the Lord's strength, and because of his great fear of God, found great confidence in God, and because he trembled before God's holiness, found purity of life, as you read 2 Corinthians 7, 5, you find a natural side to this too. Listen to these words. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." Within were fears. Now, he's not talking spiritual here. It was because of his spiritual walk and love for the Lord and trying to get the gospel to people that he faced these dilemmas, but nevertheless, he's talking about a physical plight here. His flesh had no rest. His flesh was troubled. There were fightings without, and emotionally, inwardly, there were fears. And the word fear used here in 1 Corinthians 2:3 and in 2 Corinthians 7:5 means frightened, terror. So the Apostle Paul battled fear. And remember, just as we've seen Moses being the one who would again and again try to motivate and encourage and strengthen Joshua not to fear, it was the Apostle Paul who also had a son in the faith, and his name was Timothy, and Paul would again and again encourage and motivate Timothy not to give in to fear. Remember those famous words, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Those words spoken by Paul to Timothy. Everybody battles fear. The great and godly Timothy, the Apostle Paul, a man like the one we're studying tonight, Joshua, everyone battles fear. The 56th Psalm, verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now, again, everybody becomes afraid or everyone fears on occasions. What do you do with the fear? Does it paralyze you, or do you turn it over to the Lord and let it motivate you to do the right thing and to go forward? I have struggled with fear just like everyone else. I remember a number of years ago, and I've told our church family this in times past. I know it is right to be a witness. But like so many Christians, you know, when I talk to someone about the gospel, there are times that fear accompanies that. You know, just nervousness about, you know, someone rejecting you. someone yelling at you. And I've had those things happen to me. And I remember one particular occasion when I was on church staff down in Atlanta. I would go out into neighborhoods and witness to people. And many times it was just would go out by myself. And I ministered in areas that were low income, areas that were middle income, and those were upper middle income areas. And didn't matter where it was, you know, that spirit of fear at times would just hit me. And I remember one particular time I was by myself driving to this particular area that I was covering. And as I approached that neighborhood, man, the spirit of fear just overwhelmed me. Now, I had not been told by the pastor I served that I had to be out. No one actually knew that I was out. I hadn't told my wife. My kids didn't know. People in the church did not know. I was just doing this on my own. And that spirit of fear just overwhelmed me, and I remember turning around and going home. Now, listen, no one knew that, but I knew it. And as I traveled home, the guilt just bothered me extremely. It's like, boy, I was a coward. Here I was supposed to be out telling people about the Lord, and I just chickened out. And it bothered me greatly. And I don't remember how God brought the words of Romans 1:16 into my mind. Maybe it was through a radio preacher, or maybe someone had spoken those words at the church. I don't remember, but I just remember God putting in my path the words of Romans 1:16. And it's funny, it's one of those verses that I never attempted to memorize, but God just burned it into my mind. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I'm going to tell you something. After 35 years of ministering and witnessing to probably thousands of people, I have still moments of fear and dread. Still, at times, those things come over me. And I still, to this day, will have that verse go through my heart. And I'll ask the Holy Spirit, please, you give me the courage to go and do what I ought to do. Everybody battles fear. Everyone struggles in this area. To think that Joshua was no different would certainly, I think, be foolish on my part to think that this man, just because he was a warrior, and because he was placed in a position as commander, here as we're introduced to him in the book of Exodus, and later as we see him marching to victory in the land of promise in the book of Joshua, I think it'd be foolish for me to think that he was fearless. Everybody fears, but it can be overcome. Now, the question is, did God use him and bless him because of his warrior abilities? Well, I think from the fact that it's obviously he trusted God through those things, yes, I think it would be part of it. But I don't think that's the limitation of it, why God used him. There's some other things that we'll see tonight and then look at next Wednesday night as well. Why did God use and bless Joshua? Well, I think it's because he was a man of faith. A man of faith. I want you to go back to the book of Numbers and look at chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Let me begin to read in verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Now, this is a time where Israel had chosen out men to go and spy out the land of Canaan. They are on the verge of being able to go in and occupy the land and get exactly what God had promised them. But as those men, 12 men, which included Joshua, entered the land and saw the wonders of the land, they also came back, and the Bible says they gave an evil report of the land. And instead of encouraging the people to go forward and trust God, 10 of those spies convinced the people to cut and run. And instead of going forward in victory, they would spend many, many more years in the wilderness, and that generation would die off. Why? Because they would not trust the Lord. However, Joshua did. Notice verse 30. He says, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." Now God speaks up and he says to the people of Israel, "You have refused to believe me. Therefore, you will not enter the land, but two men, Caleb and the one we're studying, Joshua." Joshua believed God. Joshua chose to believe God. Joshua here in this instance would not allow his fear to dominate him. It dominated the 10 other men. That spirit of fear caused the whole nation to rebel and not go into the promised land, but Joshua would not give in to that fear. Praise the Lord for that. He was a man of faith. Think about Hebrews 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe." Joshua simply chose to believe God. Let me read again Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me?" I wonder how many times I provoke God. How many times have you provoked God by simply not believing what he has said? And by the way, belief does not bring automatic action. Belief doesn't necessarily bring quick responses. You need to be willing to trust God for the duration. You think about the life of Abraham, and many times he would go for years without a response. There are times where you find Abraham being told one thing by God and then waiting for 25 years before an answer would come. Would you be waiting to wait for an answer to prayer for 25 years and still maintain your faith in God? Abraham did, and quite frankly, men like Joshua did, because their faith that would motivate them to enter into that promised land would have to wait for an additional 38 years. 40 years in total they wandered in that wilderness. By the time they entered into the promised land, Joshua was well into his 80s because of other people's unbelief, but he maintained his integrity of belief. Why did God use and bless Joshua? One of those reasons is because Joshua was a man of faith. One of those reasons is because Joshua, though a man prone to fear, just like you and I are prone to fear, listen, chose to strengthen himself in the Lord and not let fear paralyze him, but let it motivate him to go forward for God. Same thing has to be true for you and me. God loved Joshua. God used Joshua. God blessed Joshua. No doubt these two things that we've looked at tonight play a part in God using him in such a tremendous way. We're going to continue this next Wednesday and look at some other things. But I trust as we do so, that you'll be encouraged by the things that we see, especially what I believe is the key to Joshua's victories, the keys to God looking at this man and saying, "I can use you to be this great leader." It may be surprising to you. We'll take a look at that next week. And I trust we'll stop here for this evening. And as we do, let me just again say to everyone that we need to be walking in a confidence with the Lord and when sudden fear enters into our life, not to be afraid of it,
saying, I can use you
to take courage through the Word of God, leader, take courage through other
it
believers,
may, it may be surprising to you,
especially allow the Scripture to motivate us to trust God,
this evening,
walk by faith,
as we do,
and
let me just
overcome fears
everyone,
as we find through the Word of God and through
walking
God's people.
God
will do that for you. If you ask Him, He'll do that for you. You can overcome fear.
Life,
you can walk by faith, as Joshua did.
Take courage from the Word of God. Take courage.
Well, let's go ahead and we'll bow for prayer this evening.
And
let's close our prayer this evening. Father, I thank you for
trust God,
the opportunity
walk by
to
faith,
look into your word.
Overcome fears.
As we begin to look at the life of Joshua,
the word of God,
we thank you, Lord, for
God's people,
placing these people in our lives, though Joshua is long, long ago entered into eternity. Yet it's as though he were here as we study his life. And I thank you for that truth and that reality. Lord, as your word says, he being dead yet speaketh. And Joshua's life certainly speaks.
We
ask, Lord,
that
we continue to learn,
you,
not
Lord,
only through his life, but other saints' lives. And God,
will
thank you for it in
so
Jesus' name.
Joshua is
as we finish tonight,
ago,
just a reminder that
eternity,
we'll be back
yet,
with our parking lot service this coming
here,
Sunday morning. And then on
life.
Sunday evening, we will have
reality.
Brother Enoch Wynn,
Lord,
our missionary
to
New Mexico, will be speaking
Joshua's
to us, though we may not
speaks.
Be able to do our regular missions emphasis
yeah,
this
Lord,
month. I'm
learn.
Just glad that the Lord allowed
now,
the winds to be with us.
And
he and Ariel have been a big help
as
again.
Finish tonight,
just praise the Lord for their willingness while they're here to try to serve, to be a blessing to me
morning.
And to this church.
Evening,
and so, again, Ariel will, not Ariel, that.
Our
we'll do that, but we'll have Enoch preaching for us this coming Sunday night. We will have an announcement Sunday morning concerning
the
upcoming weeks. As you know, the restrictions are beginning to be loosened now, so we'll talk more about that this coming Sunday. So Lord bless you, give you a great Wednesday evening. Remember, look for opportunities to witness, look for opportunities to trust God, not walk in fear, but walk in confidence with Him. Good night.